It's the Bill King Show.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals.
Go get it, dog.
I'm a man.
He had a voice that could make a Wolverine purr.
I'd be sitting on a firecracker.
And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo.
It's a fantastic day
for the United States of America.
It's the Bill King Show.
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. Fifth Avenue, downtown.
Hot rock! That's what we call a sack lunch.
They do have are a very particular set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
With us Tuesdays in this slot, and Dave, we'll get into some spring football, but just watching Twitter, there seems to be two kind of Gator fans when it comes to the basketball team. One that's negative, that says Mike White can't get them where they need to go, and the others who now are saying, I told you he's a good coach, look how he coached them down the stretch, now they're in the tournament.
Yeah, but I was kind of been joking about that. You know, and that's a social media world now that we live in. And it kind of seems like, you know, it's extreme one way or the other. You either fully support Mike White or you fully don't. So, and you're right. That does seem to be the general consensus and message on Twitter that you either want Mike White fired or you're following Mike White because, hey, look, they're in the tournament again. And for everything that they faced throughout this year, injuries again, lack of a big man. They're still found a way to get into the tournament. Bill, we talked last week, and I kind of laid out what they had to go do in the tournament, and that's exactly what they did. They had to go beat Arkansas, and they had to beat LSU to make sure that they were in the tournament. If they didn't beat LSU and played them tough, you know, Florida was firmly sitting on the bubble. But with that win over LSU, that pretty much punched their ticket in, and it was a buzzer-beater shot. That Andrew Nembhard had to hit, and almost, you know, the very next day he had another chance against Auburn to do it again, and you know they were hacked on the very last shot and no call there. But you know, kind of could look at, you know, they knew they were in at that point, so going to have to play another game with the lack of depth that they have, you know, maybe kind of a blessing in disguise, if you want to say. I think, you know, it still speaks a lot if you could go on to the final and maybe win the SEC tournament. But, you know, Florida was in at that point, another big win versus LSU. Bill, if Florida could play LSU from here on out, they'd probably be in good shape. Two games went to overtime, and another buzzer beater there, beat them two out of the three times that they played, you know, a really good LSU team there. So, you know, we'll see what happens, but they got Nevada coming up. They drew the 10 seed versus, 7 seed. In Nevada, a team that's only lost four games throughout the season, haven't really beat anybody. And so Florida, I think, you know, got a pretty good matchup here. They win this game more than likely would play Michigan in the second round.
Is LSU Florida a thing in basketball, meaning kind of this new dislike for each other because of the incident, the hurricane, the scheduling, all that a couple of years ago? Does that carry over to basketball?
Well, I think it carries over a little bit because also you go back and look at when Florida won the College World Series, and it was against LSU as well in baseball a couple of years ago. So there's been, you know, some Florida LSU football, basketball. Heck, you go back to when Florida was winning the national championship in basketball, and LSU was pretty good at that time too with Glenn Davis. So you know, there's been some tough matchups when both teams are pretty good in basketball, baseball, and football, of course, in recent years. And you know, Florida makes this return trip to Baton Rouge for the first time in a couple seasons with the hurricane deal last year. So it will be interesting to see the reception Florida gets from the LSU fan base on the football side of things, because it's been a while since they've been to Baton Rouge.
Gator Dave with us, Gator Gators Breakdown is his podcast. We'll let you know how you could get that. It's very, very popular. So let's transition. Let's go from basketball over to the oblong spheroid, to some football. What seems to be the word out of spring practice?
We play Frank's looks the best he's ever looked, Bill, coming off that stretch at the end of the season where he played really well versus FSU and really well versus Michigan. And comes out in spring practice and really has commanded the offense, making throws down the field that he's so much struggled with last year. Now, it does need to be said with a disclaimer. This is pretty much pajama practice so far. He's only had one practice in pads over the weekend there, and they'll have an open practice Saturday that I'll be at. So I'll be able to share a lot more next week from what they look like while they're in pads and offensive line, defensive line can hit. But as of right now, Bill, with all the weapons that he has coming back at receiver, every receiver returns, and Ben Jefferson, Trevon Grimes, Freddie Swain, Josh Hammond, Kadarius Toney, Tyree Cleveland, all those guys are coming back. So the weapons are there. You got weapons led by LaMichael Pirine at running back, and it's really just how fast will this offensive line, because I don't have any doubts Felipe Franks will be better, but how much can we see the improvement with what the offensive line has to replace in 4 to 5 starters there? Will that hold back the growth of the offense? And that's what this spring is going to be about. That I think we'll see continued improvement from Felipe Franks. But what is this offensive line going to do to help him? Can they gel quick enough in the spring? Can they pick out their top 5, 6 guys by the end of spring and have those guys ready to gel by the time Florida opens up with Miami? So this spring, I think, is very important in trying to identify those, of course, you're starting 5 of the offense, but some key depth pieces as well.
Yeah, it's I've been watching that, and it's – I don't know if I want to say it's remarkable, but, again, Mullen, what he does with quarterbacks and taking a very shaky, inconsistent – most people don't think I'd even be on the field, and making him look pretty good is another Mullen gem.
It is, Bill. It really does speak to me. Go back to that Missouri game. It was the week after the Georgia game, and a terrible start by Felipe Franks. He ends up getting benched, and more than likely Kyle Trask is going to start the next game versus South Carolina. He gets hurt in practice, and Felipe Franks is thrown back in as a starter, and it took a half. They get that South Carolina game as well, but starting that second half of that game when they started using his legs a little bit more and started converting some third downs, and he plays with the chip on his shoulder and gets some confidence. I don't think there's any question that he got better, and a lot of it was to do with maybe just a wake-up call of maybe almost losing his job there. And now, I listened to an interview with him last week, and he wants Jalen Jones and Emory Jones to learn from his mistakes and what he does. He wants to teach those guys for taking over him. And speaking of Emory Jones, Bill, he's looked like a different quarterback as well. He's added some weight. The ball's really flying out of his hand. He has a better understanding of the offense. And, I still think, Felipe Franks is going to be the starter. There's no question there. But I still see where Franks is probably taking 85-90% of the snaps during the season, and we see Emory Jones in some design plays and some design formations, design situations where he's going to get some playing time. He's a lot more comfortable now than he was last year, not really forced into anything last year. And I think Mullen will find a way to use him as a weapon as well.
Tell everybody how they can get Gators Breakdown, the podcast.
Get Gators Breakdown on news4jax.com/GatorsBreakdown and all the podcast platforms out there, iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, all those out there, Bill. And last night I had Thomas Goldcamp on from Swamp 24/7 who been able to shed some more light on everything that we have seen at practice in the first week. So Dan Mullen's in town, Bill, tomorrow here in Jacksonville, so I'll be heading that up as well as up from practice Saturday. So we'll have even more to talk about next week.
Good stuff, my friend.
Thanks, Bill.
Looking at the SEC East, and obviously you've got the talent of Georgia sitting there. You've got Florida coming off a 10-win season year one with Mullen. And you've got a guy like Jeremy Pruitt at Tennessee trying to dig out of a mess he inherited. And he's recruiting well. They are expected to be better next year. So that's the positive. If you're a Tennessee fan, that part you're excited about. Year two under Jeremy Pruitt, Maybe get to 7 wins in year 2. Just went 5-7. And it's not going to happen quick. The problem, if you want to flip it and look at it negatively, the problem is you got Georgia sitting there. And you got Florida well coached again. Florida's got their mojo again. Now Florida's not player for player what they were under Urban Meyer between 06 and 09 or the 90s heyday of Spurrier. I'm not saying that, but they're better than Tennessee. Then you got what Kentucky just accomplished. Now, they've got to replace some star power, obviously, but that was the best year at Kentucky since the late 70s. And you've got Missouri, and you've been struggling, to say the least, against Vandy. You're not beating them. So it's going to be interesting to see how the East fares next several years. With everybody pretty much with their coach, chips in the middle of the table, and something's got to give. You cannot all coexist. We know this. You cannot all coexist and win. If some are winning, then some are preparing to get fired on the other side. You can't all have it. It's not socialism. Tech Bogey 6 says, Bill, is there any new info on Brew McCoy? Yeah, we're waiting on Brew McCoy and Tate Martell. And I think the NCAA behind the scenes is saying, oh, bleep. We have created a situation that looks like unfettered free agency, and that is not what we want. How do we not clear Tate Martell or Brew McCoy and then answer the questions from fans and media, which will sound something like this? You folks are the biggest hypocrites in the world. You just cleared Justin Fields because he can't beat out Jake Fromm. But you're not going to clear Tate Martell, and you're not going to clear Brew McCoy. You folks in Indianapolis are officially, certifiably lunatics. Yeah, I think that's where the NCAA is right now. Because if they go by what they have been doing recently, they've got to clear Brew McCoy and Tate Martell. Because what they're doing makes no sense. You don't clear Justin Fields based on Jake Fromm. And I know what happened elsewhere. But that's not why he is at Ohio State. He's at Ohio State because he didn't beat out Jake Fromm. That's why. So we'll see. We'll see what happens there. Yeah, I've heard nothing new on Brew McCoy. See, and again, I'm conflicted there because I want to see Brew McCoy play. I mean, frankly, I don't really care whether he plays immediately or not, meaning I'm not emotional about it. But I like college football, and I want the best players out there. This kid is a potential day one starter. He's a five-star California player of the year type kid out of the famous Matter Day. Brew McCoy, a big 6'5 wide receivers. Wide receivers, running backs, those guys in college can play day one. There's not a real awful extreme transition for them. Just go and do what you do. It's not like trying to survive as a true freshman on the offensive line. It's not like trying to take the ball as a true freshman at quarterback, etc. Running back, wide receiver, if you're that good, you just come on in and play, okay? There's not that big of a transition. Your skill set already has adapted at some point. You're ready. You're absolutely ready. We need the break, but we heard from Vince. Vince told us over the weekend that his sister was in bad health and was taken to the ICU and was losing blood and needed our prayers and everything else. Well, Vince just tweeted about 21 minutes ago. I'm looking at it on Twitter. Says, I've got some really good news. My sister is leaving the ICU and headed home today. Thanks, everybody, for their prayers. Yeah, that is awesome news, Vince. Glad to hear that, man. Glad to hear. Good news there. Okay, let's get the break. And I believe now Charlie will have to try Buck at the bottom of the hour. I've got no confirmation. We'll play it by ear, but we'll try Buck. Buck's got to be happy they won. The Arizona Hotshots won their game. So they're back on the W side of the ledger. So I know he's in a good mood. Let's take the break. Presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel.
A wreck on I-40 East between Charlotte Avenue and the I-65 split. Crashes on 440 at the I-24 East Junction and at the westbound ramp to 65. Remember, 440 is covered in road construction. Be careful out there. Prince's Hot Chicken, the original authentic Nashville hot chicken. 5814 Nolensville Pike in South Nashville. I'm AJ Rose with your on-time traffic.
Southern hospitality with a modern twist. Kitchen Notes in the Omni Nashville Hotel offers a farm-to-fork experience for breakfast, lunch, supper, and Sunday brunch. Kitchen Notes uses the freshest ingredients to create great food in a casual dining atmosphere. Don't miss Nashville's only award-winning biscuit bar, serving up a house-crafted sweet, savory, buttermilk, and gluten-free biscuit every day. Try our award-winning patty melt or the grilled pimento cheese sandwich with a side of house-made Tennessee honey slaw, and dessert is always a must in our house. Whether it's in the main dining room or two of our private dining rooms, be sure to make Kitchen Notes part of your downtown Nashville experience. Check out Kitchen Notes at the Omni Nashville. For reservations, call 615-761-3700. Complimentary valet parking is always available.
I'm Eric Opron, Managing Director of the Omni Nashville Hotel. I want to personally invite you to experience the local flavor of Music City at our award-winning property. From our one-of-a-kind culinary outlet to the ultimate luxury of our full-service Mokara Spa, Omni Nashville offers something for everyone. Whether it's the biscuit bar in our Southern-inspired Kitchen Notes restaurant or our upscale honky-tonk bar lines, or if you prefer a romantic dinner, visit Bob's Steak and Chop House. Come on down and see us at 250 Fifth Avenue South, located in the heart of the SoBro District.
In the heart of downtown Nashville, the Southern Steak and Oyster is a unique and animated eatery that offers an authentically Southern adventure with a twist. Whether it be breakfast, lunch, dinner, weekend brunch, the Southern Steak and Oyster has a variety of dining experiences. Visit thesouthernnashville.com to peruse menus, make reservations, purchase unique products, or book business and private parties. Located at 153rd Avenue South, the Southern Steak and Oyster offers free valet or validated self-park. Give the Southern Steak and Oyster a call at 615-724-1762 or visit thesouthernnashville.com.
Nashville Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM has been your home for sports for 20 years. From typewriters to Twitter, fax machines to Facebook, we have you covered 24/7 and on the go. Finding us online is as easy as at Nash Sports Radio. Twitter, at Nash Sports Radio. SoundCloud, at Nash Sports Radio. Facebook, at Nash Sports Radio. Or search your app store for WNSR. 20 years of sports. Anytime, anywhere. From Nashville Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM.
The home of commitments and other stuff. The Bill King Show.
Triple 8702-5494 Twitter. At Bill is King. Back to Alpha Bean Counter Jeff 2. and the NCAA tournament. The women's bracket was leaked yesterday, 4 hours prior to the women's selection show. ESPNU, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, was talking men's basketball, men's tournament. And they had on Dickie V, who was probably crying about something, right? Anyways, while Dickie V's talking men's basketball, somebody leaked the brackets in a graphic behind Dickie V. So people started taking pictures and tweeting it. And 4 hours prior to the selection show, the brackets are leaked. So everybody knows who got in. And one of the things was, did the Lady Vols get in? Because some thought that maybe that would be a big determining factor with Mr. Philip Fulmer, who I hugged recently. Well, I didn't really hug. Kind of. We bumped shoulders. Yeah. Kind of like that. Whether Philip would retain Holly Warlick or not. So, anyways, Lady Vols get in. They're an 11 seed. Cosby Cattleman called yesterday, and he does not like Holly Warlick, and he wants his school, Tennessee, the ladies program, to fail. He does not like Holly. So he says, you know what? I've got a little problem. I could either hope they don't get in, or they get in, but they get fed into Geno, and they lose by 80. He said that would be pretty funny. I could handle some of that. That's good. So Jeff, too, has looked at the bracket. I had not. Jeff did the homework for us as usual. He said, Bill, and Tennessee drew UCLA. Said, Bill, UCLA is 20-12, and they are a 6 seed. But he says Tennessee is on UConn's side of the bracket, and they are an 11 seed. So if Tennessee and Connecticut, he says, both win 2 games, they will meet in the Sweet 16, and the Cosby Cattleman gets his dream scenario. Now, the Cosby Cattleman wanted them to get Geno game 1. That didn't happen. That did not happen. But, so the top seed overall is Baylor, right? On the women's side. Mississippi State is also 1. Louisville is a 1 seed. And Notre Dame is a 1 seed. So UConn is 31-2 this year. Who beat UConn? How the heck do you beat UConn? I would have assumed they were a 1 seed, but they're not. So more news from Jeff too there. Yeah, dream scenario there for the Cosby Cattleman, if you will. I don't know how many of you watch the women's side, but I got to tell you, I've mentioned this on the show several times, that Notre Dame-Mississippi State championship game last year, I thought was an incredible game. I did. I thought it was absolutely a remarkable game. Heroic game by both teams. Notre Dame pulled it out there at the end, but incredible game. Buck, at the bottom of the hour, I think. I know that's really good radio programming. The host says, I think we have a guest at the bottom of the hour, but he can't guarantee you a damn thing. That is really good radio, led by me. I do know Griff will be with us next hour, about 20 minutes in. Griff has a now morning meeting with his boss. I still want to know, what the hell could that meeting be about? He covers Georgia football and maybe basketball if it doesn't get in the way of football. That's the way all those sites are, right? Unless you're Duke, North Carolina, Kentucky, you cover football and you cover basketball if you got nothing else going on. That's, look, they're in the subscriber business. They know where their subscribers are. That's what you do. And Griff obviously has got nothing to cover in basketball. You and I both know that. So, anyways, at the bottom of the hour, Griff. Southeastern Termite and Pest, 615-293-0722. Give that number a call. If you are looking for reliable, dependable, affordable, you're going to love the pricing now. I'm just telling you. Pest control. And you're in the 615 area. Okay? 615 area. And that includes other counties. Hey, we yesterday we had work in Shelbyville and Lewisburg outside of this area. Also had Franklin, Nashville, etc., which is typical, but Lewisburg, Shelbyville, had things going on there. So give us a call, 615-293-0722. Get on the list. They were at Chad's house again in Smyrna, just looking. Now, he's got a relatively new house, and he just wanted an inspection for termites, which came up very clean. Yeah, Chad and family and his wife, they run a clean ship, I'm told. So everything checked out nicely. But anyways, and we're going to be at Clay's house in Smyrna sometime next week. I know that. So get on the list, 615-293-0722. Quarterly sprays. You want to be in the preventative mode now. Quarterly sprays, or if you've got a direct issue that's got to be dealt with, pest control. Southeastern Termite and Pest, 615-293-0722. Let's get the break here. Coming right back. Omni Nashville Hotel.
Still clearing crashes on I-40 East between Charlotte Avenue and the I-65 split. Crashes on 440 as well at the I-24 East Junction and at the westbound ramp to I-65 North. I-24 is heavy westbound all the way from Haywood up to the eastern split. ICU Security specializes in surveillance camera installation and service. Check them out at ICUSecurityInc.com. I'm AJ Rose with your on-time traffic.
Hello, I'm Tom Hodges of Goggin Coldhall, a regional refrigerated company that operates within a 500-mile radius of our home in Smyrna, Tennessee. We're seeking professional drivers to join our family-owned business. Our number one priority of serving our customers is by taking care of our employees first. With a $1,000 sign-on bonus plus a driver referral program, Goggin Coldhall offers an excellent benefit package with a 401k retirement plan, paid vacations and holidays, insurance options, and a competitive pay structure that includes weekly, monthly, and quarterly bonuses. No Northeast travel, no touch freight, and with our late model Freightliner and Kenworth equipment, we promise to treat you in a first-class manner. If you're interested in joining our family at Goggin Cold Hall, please visit www.goggincold.com. That's www.goggincold.com or call us at 931-225-3873. That's Goggin Cold Hall, the coldest team in town.
Were you scammed into signing a timeshare contract? And did you miss the part that said you have to pay for your great idea? Not only for the rest of your life, but when you're not here anymore, you get to pass this turkey onto your family for them to pay for the rest of their lives. Thanks, Dad. Don't burden your family down the road, and don't be stuck with expensive timeshare payments forever. Get out of your bad idea timeshare contract guaranteed or pay nothing. Call Resort Release today and learn for free how their timeshare exit team can help you legally exit your timeshare contract. They've helped thousands of people, and they're A-plus rated with a BBB. So if you feel scammed, get mad, and get out of your expensive timeshare contract right now, guaranteed. Call N-O-W.
800-898-0816. 800-898-0816. 800-898-0816. That's 800-898-0816.
Your exclusive National Sports Radio WNSR Sky Scan forecast for this morning: a clear sky, sunny today, high 58, partly cloudy tonight, low 36. Sunshine Wednesday, a stray afternoon shower, high 62, partly sunny with a shower Thursday. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network and National Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's meteorologist, Jim Rinaldi.
Sports Radio, WNSR.
Often imitated, never duplicated. Wordsmithing like a mofo on college football, it's Bill King.
I'm the Nashville Hotel. So the Arizona Hotshots get a win, and I think Buck is happy. I think we were able to track him down this morning. Buck, how you doing, bud?
I'm doing well, Bill. How are you?
It's amazing, and you're living it, obviously. The highs of winning and the lows of losing, huh? You're on that roller coaster every week right now, aren't you?
Hey, you know, as a player, and then even as a broadcaster, you know, broadcasting, you get fooled in the, I'm really invested in this game. I got to make sure I call things the right way. I got to make sure I get the information right. As a player, I remember those highs and lows. As a coach, oh my goodness, it is the epitome of a roller coaster ride, and you have no control. I mean, you coach your guys, you get them in the best possible position, you have a great plan, but you can't go make plays. I mean, you can't get on the field. I was telling Thomas Duarte, who wears my number now, I said, Thomas, what I would do to just get one play, just one play. he said, Coach, we know you're going to need some ice after. You might as well let us do it. I said, yeah, you're right. But it is so true when you win a game, and especially this past weekend against a really good Orlando team, you know, who had been playing some really good football. But the good thing about it, Bill, we scrimmaged them. You know, we had a scrimmage against them and training camp. It got cut short because of an injury to one of our guys. So we knew these guys, and we knew how tough they were even then. It was like, okay, that team is going to be pretty good, and I think we said that about each other. So to finally go there and play a complete ball game after having struggled for the last 3 weeks with some consistency, that part to me made the biggest difference.
Had they lost a game yet before
no,
that game?
No, they had not lost the game.
That's what I was thinking.
And the interesting thing, we were able to get back a couple of guys from injury. Steven Johnson, our linebacker, inside linebacker, Richard Mullaney, receiver. Most people, if you're Bama fans, you remember him from Alabama, but also Oregon State receiver. And Hugh Thornton, who you played some time in the league with the Colts and some other. Those guys gave us some energy, and we had some injuries at certain spots where we needed them to come back, and that was great for us. And just, the thing I always tell people, and I love going on the road, and I can remember going in the stadiums where they're loud, and that was they had a great atmosphere at UCF. The Apollos did. The one thing I can always remember is when you beat a team on the road, how quiet it is and how much better the plane ride or the bus ride or whatever it is going back home. And that was the one thing I just said, if these guys play as well as they can for a full game and not just, you know, two quarters here or a quarter there when we get behind, we got a chance. We got a chance every week if we do that consistently.
So are the highs and the lows of coaching more extreme than when you play?
I think so. And I think the lows, as high as you get from a win, you still right away start thinking, okay, we got San Diego this week. They're playing some good football. They're in our division. We got to play them two out of the next 4 weeks. You know, you experience the joys of winning, but you start, you know, already thinking ahead to what you got to do for the game plan, you got to put together for the next group of guys. So they are pretty extreme, and I can see what coaches used to tell me, you know, how you live and eat this stuff. It is so true. It can take you through some pretty big swings.
Well, and let me take this to another level. The lows of losing are more extreme than the highs of winning, correct? Because you said when you win, your mind doesn't allow you too much time to enjoy it because you're already worrying about the next team. When you lose, it possesses you.
I think you're right? absolutely right. I think you're absolutely right because you just keep thinking of if we made a play here, or if we did this
right.
differently, if you know, if there was a different call and this, it's so many variables you start looking at. So I agree with you on that. I can see why coaches and you know their wives go through the roller coasters of emotions in this game.
Steven in Atlanta. Now he says something here. I haven't seen enough games to know this as a trend, but he wants me to ask you. Steve in Atlanta says, ask Buck, why do all the AAF teams go for it on fourth and goal when Trent Richardson is the only one who can run it in there, and he's not all that good outside of the two-yard line? He says, are they allergic to short field goals?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. We've actually kicked field goals, so I'm not sure.
Right.
I have seen that in a few instances where I was kind of surprised, but I think the aggressive mentality is you don't have a PAT, so it almost seems like it bleeds over into your offense. Sometimes you feel like on fourth and one we can get it. And we've done that a couple times when we did have come up short. The Apollos against us, that happens. But I think it's some of the nature, too, that clock in your head, you don't have as much time in an NFL game or college game. 2 hours and 30 minutes seems to go pretty quick. So sometimes when you're behind or even when you're ahead, you feel like, okay, if I get this, we can put this team away. If you're behind, your possessions really are limited. I can remember a few weeks ago when we got behind, I mean, San Antonio, we just started saying, okay, every possession counts. And then you start playing that game, and with them being able to make two-point conversions, that's either good or bad, because if a team isn't good on the two-point conversion rule, then you have a chance to come back. If you don't, and they keep getting 8 points, it puts you behind the eight ball. So I think some of it is that clock in folks' heads saying we got to be more aggressive when we have a fourth and one or, you know, a fourth and inches, as opposed to saying, oh, I'm just going to kick a field goal and play the number, so to speak. So I think this first year, all these coaches, myself included, are figuring that out, because your possessions are limited in the AAF.
Charles Arbuckle with us out in Arizona. You know, one thing I'd forgotten, and you were talking about some of the other staff members that I certainly know about, but Phil Savage is part of your team too, right?
Yeah, Phil and I go way back. He was with the great Homer Smith at UCLA when I was a player. And, you know, Phil is the general manager here. He's had a long career in the NFL. You know, that's been good working with, you know, he and Rick Neuheisel. But, yeah, Phil and I go way back. And it's just been good to spend some time with him and get a chance to pick his football brain. We've had some good conversations. And, you know, I think he goes through the same highs and lows that we go through, too, as well. And he talks about, you know, he's been a broadcaster like I have for years. The difference in how this is versus being on the other side where you're calling games and you can kind of walk away from it. So, yeah, he's done a really nice job of helping us find players and getting guys in when we've had injuries, having to make, you know, quick decisions on folks. So, no, it's been good. He's been a good guy to have and a good person to be able to just talk ball with.
Well, and for those listening, Phil headed up the Senior Bowl for a long time and was the analyst on the Alabama radio games.
That's
for all
exactly
those years.
Right. He and Eli Gold called those games for a number of years. And, you know, Phil has a real good insight into, you know, what made Bama great and, you know, saw it many different ways, because I think he was on the staff with Homer back in the 90s, but then also watching from a close distance of how Nick Saban's been able to build that program there.
Buck, I know you're busy, my friend. Congratulations on the win.
Hey, man, we'll take it every time we can get it, and I appreciate it. You know, I know it's early here, but we'll keep doing this up till the end of the season. Hopefully that means a win for us in the championship. We tease about not having trophies and all those things, but, man, it would be great if you can get yourself in a position, and we got to do that this week with San Diego.
All right, Buck, thank you, sir.
All right, man, take care.
Charles Arbuckle joins us on Tuesdays. Again, he's out there in Arizona where it's – are they on Pacific or Mountain Time? If it's Pacific, It's 5:43 his time. Coaches have to get up early anyways, but it's early. Anyways, interesting. I haven't, other than that first weekend, I haven't been able to watch the AAF just because of scheduling or whatever, whatever's going on, being busy. But I did note, I will always look and see a couple. I did not think, I was right about that. I did not think that Spurrier had lost a game until he got to the hot shots. And then Spurrier lost. See, I like Spurrier too. I don't even know how the playoffs work and everything, but that would be pretty cool if it was Arizona versus Spurrier. Now, I know a lot of you have kind of adopted the Birmingham team. A few of you have adopted the Atlanta team. I don't even know all the teams, but anyways, good stuff there. Game tonight, Belmont and Temple. Let me pull this up. Let me pull this up. Now, it was 3 points early on, and then Roundman says it got bet up a little bit to Belmont minus 3.5. And I don't know. I've just pulled it up, but I don't know if this thing is refreshed. Let me see if I can find it. Yeah, it's sitting here at 3.5 after I refreshed it. Karen points out that Football Johnny has joined Memphis. She says the hapless Memphis AAF team signed Johnny, in case you didn't know. Yeah, I saw that. Now, when you say hapless, does that mean Memphis is not winning? Are they, like, losing every game? Somebody who keeps up, let me know. Yeah, I can't tell you what Memphis and their AAF plight is. I just don't know. It never occurred to me before the show to check on Memphis of the AAF and make sure you know what the record is. It never, ever hit me to know that. Sorry. But I did know that Johnny. So now we got Johnny in the Volunteer State. Yeah. We get Johnny moving a little east, further up in the state, up to Rocky Top. He'll be saying, go Vols. You think Johnny's ever said go Vols in his life? So if Johnny ends up moving further east, I wonder if the Cosmic Cattleman becomes a big Johnny Manziel fan. Roundman points out that Belmont's Nick Mazinski will play tonight in the first four against Temple. 6'11", big man, was the OVC Freshman of the Year. There you go. 6'11". See, it used to be at Belmont where you couldn't get a post that was more than 6'8", 6'7". That's no longer the case, obviously, but it used to be the case. It's hard. I mean, to get a true post that's on the plus side of 6'8", 6'9", isn't easy for, quote, what they call the mid-majors, particularly a guy who can actually play now. You can find a guy 6'10", but he might not be very good. But a guy that can actually play that's got that plus length. But Belmont does it now. There, I tell you what, Belmont's a fun brand to watch, too. Because they're going to shoot their threes. They're going to call lots of plays. They're going to be incredibly well-coached. Just watch Rick Bird. I mean, I talked earlier about Rick Bird and other places that never approached him. I don't know that he would be comfortable somewhere else. Belmont is, it seems like it fits him perfectly. If you've ever been, I mean, literally Belmont's campus almost touches. Almost touches Vanderbilt's campus. Technically, it is. Now, if you're talking about the, what would that be? The east side of the Vanderbilt, the southeast side of the campus from Belmont, I don't even think is a mile between the two. Steven in Atlanta brushes me up on the AAF. He says, Bill, Memphis is 1-5. The quarterback is terrible. I think he says the quarterback in the league is terrible. NFL gets the top 90 quarterbacks plus practice squad guys. Next year, the XFL, he says, he imagine gets even worse quarterback play. Jeff 2 says current AAF standings in the East. So they're not going with leaders and legends. In the East, the Orlando Apollos are 5-1. Yeah, Buck put that L on them. The Birmingham Iron are 4-2. Now, calling themselves the Birmingham Iron, is that to get like both sides of the Iron Bowl together? Is that the trick there on that one? Or is there another reason for that? Seriously. I didn't even know that was Birmingham's name. The Atlanta Legends. Leaders and Legends. They're 2-4 and Memphis 1-5. 1-5. So I guess you have what? East, West? I don't know. But I appreciate the info there, guys. Gary Joe Collins says, Bill, it's a shame that the OVC couldn't get two in with Murray and Belmont. Murray is a buzzsaw this year. Belmont, a dandy this year. Well, I mean, they got two in, but Belmont's got to play in, and like Kip said, if they win, which they're favored over Temple by 3.5, they feed into Maryland, which isn't probably a good matchup. Rick Byrd had won a game in the tournament, which usually is just because of matchups. He's a Hall of Fame coach. I know we need one more break. Let's get it. Omni Nashville Hotel.
A collision on 65 North between Old Hickory Boulevard and Harding. 65 North is slow from Armory to 440. Still clearing a crash in White's Creek on 24 East at OHB. I-24 retaining heavy traffic westbound from Haywood to the East Bank. Traffic is moving across the eastern split at 10 miles per hour. The U.S. Air Force has more than 200 career options. Log on to airforce.com. I'm A.J. Rose with your on-time traffic.
Nashville, want to save on Medicare Part D copays? Your local Rite Aid now has a Walgreens pharmacy, which could mean lower copays for you. Bring your prescriptions to a Walgreens pharmacy and start saving today. Walgreens, trusted since 1901. Every Walgreens pharmacy, including the one in your local Rite Aid, participates as a preferred network pharmacy with United Healthcare, Cigna HealthSpring, and Express Scripts Medicare. For a complete list of available plans, please contact 1-800-MEDICARE. TTY users should call 1-877-486-2048. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, or consult www.medicare.gov. Other pharmacies are available in our network.
It's no secret around here. I like things my way. My way keeps our customers happy. My way keeps us on budget. My way keeps this place running. And my way means ordering from Grainger. They've got what we need when we need it. With simplified checkout, dedicated customer reps, and knowledgeable product experts, I can order online, on the phone, or at a branch the way I like it. My way. When it comes to effortless ordering, Grainger's got your back. Call, click Grainger.com, or stop by to see for yourself. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
Part of you won't be satisfied till you eat made-to-order food that's hot and meaty like a meal. You want Penn Station East Coast subs. This is the food you daydream about. Grilled steak and onions covered in melty cheese with baked bready goodness and fresh-cut fries. See it with your mind's eye and smell it with your mind's nose. It's what dinner and lunch were meant to be. Answer your craving with something truly mind-blowingly delicious. Penn Station. Hot, meaty goodness.
I love my community. And as a doting dad...
Daddy's home!
A devoted son...
There you are, Joe!
And a good neighbor...
Hey, man!
The people in my life are used to hearing my knock at the door. But as a law enforcement officer, I have to give news that people never expect. That's the one knock I always dread.
Booze it and lose it. A message from the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
The Johnny Ballpark Frank Show.
I always thought you were such a nice, quiet young man.
Westbrook pulls up at the free throw line. Tied ball game.
Here's a kid with an honest face.
Weekday afternoons at 4.
I'm in my car constantly late for appointments because I'm sitting here listening to you on the radio.
Here we go. We're going live right now.
I just want to tell you, I've been a long-time listener for 12, 13 years.
The Johnny Ballpark Frank Show on Nashville Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM. If it's the P5, the G5, or a neutral site game in Council Bluffs, the Bill King Show has it covered.
Omni Nashville Hotel. You guys know Scott from OKC. He doesn't call, Crazy Charlie maybe once a month. Maybe once every 3 weeks. I mean, he stays in touch. But he's not a regular. He doesn't really post on Twitter. He's on Facebook. Here is something that Scott in OKC just posted. You know, he drives a truck. And he's stationed out of OKC. But many of you will know where he's talking about. He goes, I just had a scary experience coming down Monteagle Mountain in Tennessee. You folks know if you're on I-24... and you're going between Nashville and Chattanooga, you got to go over Monteagle Mountain. Or if you're Stephen in Atlanta and you're coming this way, you got to go over Monteagle Mountain. Well, I mean, you could take back roads, but if you're taking the interstate, which most will, you got to go Monteagle Mountain, which is beautiful. It's where Suwannee is located, beautiful college. And it's a very extreme up and down, both ways, either way you're going. Well, again, Scott drives an 18-wheeler. He says, very scary moment coming down Monteagle in Tennessee just minutes ago. He says, one of the rear trailer tires came apart, and the rubber wrapped around the steel bracket holding the mud flap, bending the bracket in and puncturing the other tire. He says, talk about lighting up the place. I had sparks flying everywhere. Now I'm sitting on the side of I-24 waiting for the tire repair guy to get here. Somebody coming this way, grab me an Egg McMuffin. So if you're on 24 right now, in the Monteagle area, pick up an Egg McMuffin for Scott. You imagine coming. Now, he said coming down. I was going to say, was he going up or down? It says coming down Monteagle. So again, either side. Doesn't really matter. And you know they have those runaway areas too, where if you lose your brakes or something, you can head up in there and it'll trap you. So you slow down. That's scary looking. You notice those when you're going over the mountain. Imagine you, though, driving an 18-wheeler and that happening. I'm just glad he's okay. Scott in OKC. Here's a big Boomer Sooner. Karen says, Bill, Aggie's spring practice starts tomorrow. I know you're very excited. Jimbo didn't want spring break to break up spring practice, so we'll run straight now. Spring break was last week. I know your life is now complete with this information. Oh, I'll pay attention. I don't mind spring practice info. I do mind the actual games. Even though I will, if nothing else is happening and I'm just stuck, I'll watch part of them. But Yeah, Jimbo not letting them interrupt spring practice for a keg drinking contest, right? The old, let's get about two practices in after everybody's worked so hard in the weight room and all that over the winter. And then now we're all going to head to the... Now, where do A&M fans or players go? Do they go down to Galveston? I mean, Galveston isn't far away. When we come back, I'll tell you my story. I spring breaked in Galveston once. I swear to God. I'm not kidding. I did. I have actually gone on spring break to Galveston. You're wondering who in the hell and why in the hell would you have done that. I'll explain it to you when we're back.